especially remember those saints who died in the last year. Now, when I meet with a family preparing for a funeral, I ask them to tell me about the person who died. And quite often, the memories that they give are very vivid about food and drink. In a little while, in the Eucharistic prayer, when we read the names of those who have died in the last year, we will read the name of one person who went champagne tasting with his family and bought a few cases of his favorite champagne, which we drank at his funeral reception. And we will read the name of someone whose family fondly remembered his barbecues. They could taste and smell and imagine his barbecues when they thought. We will name someone who always had ice cream cones on hand for every occasion. Sorry, that was my uncle. We will remember someone who baked wonderful treats and had a gift in the kitchen. We will remember someone for whom there is an incident involving filet steaks and a bottle of red wine that they still laugh at. And when the family remembered one of our saints, cigars and whiskey came to mind. And when we hear the name of my friend Lois Schwartz, I think of the loaves of challah bread she brought to share at the end of peace protests every Friday for 6 years in front of the Israeli consulate in Philadelphia. The prophet Isaiah said, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast. A feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, a feast of rich food filled with marrow and well-aged wines strained clear." These same words from Isaiah that we heard this morning are read at many funerals. People are in grief and suffering when Isaiah's words tell that we can count on the richness from God. God who gives us great foods and drinks which do provide pleasure and around which we have fond memories. And when we face death, separation from someone we love for the rest of this life, it's not only the big memories that we grieve. The most usual answer I hear to the question, "What will you miss?" is just her being here. Just knowing that he is and seeing now and then. It's the simple things like wine and barbecue. Really, you know, if you've gone through a big loss, how it's predictable that some things like anniversaries bring out strong emotions. But what really gets you is the surprise that a simple smell or taste or sound will touch your sense and memories, and a sudden burst of tears will flow again. But Isaiah gives us hope in this as well. He says, God will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces. Just as later, the Revelation was written, Revelation to John, which said, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. Make no
not our friend. And God knows it. We do not make friends with death. It is our enemy. It means losing someone, a part of ourselves. Even if the person is suffering terribly, of course, we may be relieved when their suffering is ended. But what we would much, much rather have is that their suffering ended by having the restoration of their health and by them having peace in body and spirit and being with us in the greatest of ways. Even Jesus wept at death. Even though he had the power to bring Lazarus back to life, as he experienced the force of death and the grief shared among his friends Martha and Mary at losing their brother, Jesus wept. And we do too on this day when we remember those we have loved and lost, and also those we never even knew, but through others we wish we knew. Whether through the stories of their loved ones or through our reading of their writings or hearing of their lives and examples. The saints who have gone before, whose lives are examples of faith for all of us. Even as we celebrate their witness, if only they were all with us, maybe our world wouldn't be such a mess.
Well, this doesn't sound like a very cheerful sermon for little Jules, who is about to be baptized, and for those of you who came to support him in his baptism. All this talk about death, and yet it is good news. It is good news.
We will bless the water of baptism with these words. We thank you, God, for the water of baptism. In it, we are buried with Christ in his death, and by it, we share in his resurrection. Someday, none of us will be here. Even Jules will be gone, but we will share Christ's resurrection as the baptized. Through that water, we are reborn by the power of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul said, when you are baptized, you become one of the saints. When God makes Jules a saint in a few minutes, and even when he acts wild and crazy, and he doesn't appear to be a saint, when he is made a saint, and when we act wild and crazy, and we don't appear to be saints, we are all joined in a holy and mysterious bond with all the saints who have gone before us, all the saints who now live, and all the saints who are to come. And that mysterious bond is given by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can renounce the evil that we see in this world, that we hear in the news. We can renounce that and say that the power of God's love is ultimately greater than any force on earth, including death. The power of God's love called Lazarus out of the grave. But more important, it pulled Jesus from death to life eternal with a promise that death is not the final.